happening now. Breaking news. Reading the report, members of the House Intelligence Committee are about to go behind closed doors to review the report that will be the basis for articles of impeachment against President Trump. And now, Republicans have just put out their own report defending the president. Unfortunate, just 2 days before the first House Judiciary Committee impeachment hearing, Chairman Jerry Nadler laments the White House decision not to take part as the president and his lawyer blast the process as unfair and illegitimate. GOP flip-flop, Republican Senator John Kennedy reverses course again and resumes pushing a Russian-backed conspiracy theory that Ukraine interfered in the 2016 presidential campaign. And done being quiet, former FBI lawyer Lisa Page breaks her silence in an explosive new interview in response to President Trump's repeated Twitter attacks on her former lover. I'm Wolf Blitzer. You're in the Situation Room.
This is CNN Breaking News.
We're following breaking news, a key new step toward impeachment. The House Intelligence Committee is about to conduct a closed-door review of the report on their hearings, which will be the basis of articles of impeachment against President Trump. But House Republicans have gotten a jump on them with their own report defending the president, which CNN was able to review just moments ago. And the Judiciary Committee has just released its list of witnesses who will testify in its first impeachment hearing on Wednesday. We'll talk about the breaking news and more with Senator Richard Blumenthal of the Judiciary and Armed Services Committees. And our correspondents and analysts are also standing by. First, let's go straight to Capitol Hill. Our senior congressional correspondent, Manu Raju, is on the scene for us. Manu, we're, what, only minutes away from the House Intelligence Committee members going behind closed doors to review the committee's impeachment report. What is the very latest information you're getting?
Yeah, in just a matter of moments, members of that committee will go behind closed doors, review this report. That's something they can do up until tomorrow when the committee will vote to release that report and send it to the House Judiciary Committee. The House Judiciary Committee essentially will use this report as the basis of articles of impeachment against this president. Expect this Democratic report to be long, several potentially hundreds of pages long, detailing the findings of this two-month investigation into Ukraine, the Democrats' allegations that the president abused his power and his dealings with that foreign country, also in his ask for Ukraine to investigate his political rival Joe Biden. At the same time, his security aid was withheld for Ukraine in a key meeting that Ukraine sought, also withheld. All that will be detailed in this report. We'll be waiting to hear the exact recommendations, but undoubtedly this will form the basis of those articles of impeachment. Now, tomorrow, the committee will vote to release that, send it to the House Judiciary Committee, and the Judiciary Committee on Wednesday will have its first hearing. Earlier today, they released the witnesses for that first hearing. Several academics will discuss the grounds for impeachment. Essentially, it'll be a discussion over what constitutes high crimes and misdemeanors. It'll be the first in a series of proceedings before that panel that will also carry into likely the following week. Now, the following week, they have yet to announce their schedule, but we do expect, according to our sources, that's when the committee will move to actually impeach the president, hold a vote on articles of impeachment. Then the full House will vote. That will likely happen before Christmas, assuming the Democrats have the votes and Democrats are confident they do. That will move forward. We're waiting to see exactly how they structure those articles of impeachment, but likely could be multiple articles of impeachment focusing on abuse of power, obstruction of Congress, potentially obstruction of justice as well. Now, the White House turned down an invitation to participate in Wednesday's hearing, saying they were not given enough time to provide their witnesses. They're also saying that this is a sham process, as they've done so far. Now, they can participate in future hearings, but they have until Friday to respond to that. But already, Republicans are attacking this process. Democrats believe there's far more than enough evidence to say that the president abused his office and deserves to be impeached. And Democrats will detail more of their findings tonight, and we'll see it publicly tomorrow, Wolf.
As you know, Republicans, they've just released their own report. How are they defending the president, Manu?
Yeah, Republicans released a report, 123-page report that we obtained and we reviewed, and it's a full-throated defense of the president's actions, contending that none of the central allegations that the president did are wrong, essentially saying the president was within his rights to withhold the military assistance to Ukraine, saying it needed to be reviewed, saying that Ukraine is a historically corrupt country, and he was within the president's responsibilities to ensure that money was not going to a country that could be misused in any way, suggesting that even the role of Rudy Giuliani, the president's personal attorney in investigating these matters, something that had raised alarm bells with a number of senior U.S. officials, saying that Rudy Giuliani's role was completely proper, actually saying there's nothing inherently improper with Rudy Giuliani's role. Even this report suggests that the president's claim that Ukraine may have meddled in the 2016 elections, something that has been refuted by a number of witnesses, including in the U.S. intelligence community. Well, they're saying that there's indisputable evidence that senior Ukrainian officials opposed President Trump in the 2016 elections and did so publicly. And also they're defending that July 25th phone call that the president had with President Zelensky of Ukraine, in which President Trump urged Zelensky to open up an investigation into Ukraine, potential Ukraine interference in the 2016 elections, as well as an investigation into the Bidens. It says in the report, it says the summary of their July 25th to the 2019 telephone conversation shows no quid pro quo or indication of conditionality, threats or pressure, much less evidence of bribery or extortion. The summary reflects laughter, pleasantries and cordiality. President Zelensky has said repeatedly and publicly and repeatedly that he felt no pressure. President Trump has said publicly and repeatedly that he exerted no pressure. So Wolf, you're seeing what the dividing lines rather stark here on Capitol Hill after a 2-month investigations, Republicans siding with the president, offering their rebuttal. The Republicans on this committee plan to vote and to move forward on this with this report that will essentially be the minority views of the larger Democratic report. Democrats say this is conduct is completely unacceptable, and we'll see that play out this week in what will be a momentous month here in the House. Wolf.
Historic indeed. Manu Raju, thank you very much. As the impeachment process kicks into higher gear, President Trump is in London right now for a NATO meeting. Our chief White House correspondent, Jim Acosta, is traveling with the president. Jim, I understand the president's aircraft about to land. House Republicans, they are defending the president, as you just heard in their new report. But the White House, least so far, staying away from it all. What's the latest you're hearing?
That's right, Wolf. The White House is saying no way. The president and his lawyers will not be participating in the next impeachment hearing set for Wednesday. And a White House official is all but ruling it out altogether. And the House telling CNN the Democrats are nowhere near meeting their demands for White House involvement. The president is slamming the process, calling it a hoax and a distraction as he's spending the week meeting with NATO leaders here in London. The president is latching on to comments, by the way, made by the leader of Ukraine, even as those remarks don't really exonerate him.
With the clouds of impeachment hanging over his every move, President Trump all but accused Democrats of sabotage as he's set to sit down with NATO leaders in London.
The Democrats, the radical left Democrats, the do-nothing Democrats, decided when I'm going to NATO, this was set up a year ago, that when I'm going to NATO, that was the exact time. This is one of the most important journeys that we make as president. The whole thing is a hoax. Everybody knows it.
Scrambling for a headline that will help him, the president is seizing on comments made by the leader of Ukraine about their infamous July 25th phone call.
If you notice, there was breaking news today. The Ukrainian president came out and said very strongly that President Trump did absolutely nothing wrong. That should be case over. But he just came out a little while ago and he said President Trump did absolutely nothing wrong and that should end everything.
But that's not quite what the Ukrainian president said. As he complained to Time magazine, he believed Mr. Trump wasn't exactly treating him like a true ally when the U.S. held up military aid to his country, stating, "Look, I never talked to the president from the position of a quid pro quo. I don't want us to look like beggars. But you have to understand, we're at war. If you're our strategic partner, then you can't go blocking anything for us. I think that's just about fairness." The president will be in London for NATO meetings, so he won't be participating in the latest round of impeachment proceedings in the House Judiciary Committee on Wednesday. Neither will White House attorneys, who told committee chairman Jerry Nadler in a letter, "Under the current circumstances, we do not intend to participate in your Wednesday hearing." Democrats are accusing Republicans of hiding behind arguments about the process.
I think the White House has put itself in a straitjacket of its own making by questioning the legitimacy of the constitutional process. And by questioning that legitimacy, it makes it very difficult for them to participate.
Some of the president's top defenders are going further than that, fueling bogus conspiracy theories pushed by the Russians that Ukraine was meddling in the 2016 election.
I think both Russia and Ukraine meddled in the 2016 election. I think it's been well documented.
Louisiana GOP Senator John Kennedy has twisted himself into a pretzel on the issue, resurrecting the Ukraine talking point after he seemed to back away from it last week.
I was wrong. The only evidence I have, and I think it's overwhelming, is that it was Russia who tried to hack the DNC computer.
That's what the consensus is.
I've seen no indication that Ukraine tried to do it.
That was enough to earn some presidential praise where it counts, on Twitter. Thank you to great Republican Senator John Kennedy, the president tweeted, for the job he did in representing both the Republican Party and myself.
And just a few moments ago, the president and the first lady stepped off of Air Force One, arriving here in London for these NATO meetings. And Wolf, we should mention the White House, they like this split screen of seeing the president over here in London meeting with these NATO leaders while the House of Representatives is holding these impeachment proceedings. And the White House, we should note, has until the end of the week to decide whether administration lawyers will play any part in the impeachment proceedings in the House. One official, though, question whether the White House even needs to respond to the House hearing set for Wednesday, as it includes constitutional scholars, as Manu Raju was just mentioning, not witnesses who could shed light on the president's dealings with Ukraine. The White House is not closing the door on being involved in these proceedings, Wolf, but it's getting very close.
Yes, certainly is. All right, Jim Acosta in London, thank you. Let's get some more on all of this. Joining us now, Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut. He's a member of both the Judiciary and Armed Services Committees. Senator, thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you.
So there's about to be this new phase in the House of Representatives. The Judiciary Committee is about to consider the Intelligence Committee's report. What will you be watching for in this new phase?
I'll be watching, first of all, this week for the standard that's set forth by constitutional scholars. Then the following week, the vote by the Judiciary Committee on the articles of impeachment. And of course, the next week, the vote on those articles by the full House. But make no mistake, the president's own words here are, in many respects, the most incriminating part of this case. In that July 25th conversation, the president clearly is soliciting a bribe, and bribery under the Constitution is a specifically enumerated offense for impeachment. And of course, he says in that conversation that he will perform an official act, namely releasing the military aid, only if something of personal benefit to him, that investigation of Joe Biden, is
treason, provided. Treason, bribery, high crime, bribery, high crimes and misdemeanors. House Republicans, they've just written this lengthy rebuttal to the Democrats saying there's absolutely no evidence of impeachable crimes. As far as the July 25th phone call between the president and Zelensky, they write this. The summary of their July 25th, 2019 telephone conversation shows no quid pro quo or indication of conditionality, threats or pressure, much less evidence of bribery or extortion. The summary reflects laughter, pleasantries and cordiality. What do you make of that?
Well, there's a lot more than laughter, pleasantry and cordialities. The president of Ukraine says we need those anti-tank missiles. And the president of the United States says immediately thereafter, I want you to do us a little favor, though, meaning the investigation of Joe Biden, a personal benefit to him. So I think that characterization is completely distorted and distracting, which has been their strategy. But it's also dangerous to our national security, because this falsity, the theory that Ukraine was responsible for meddling in elections, not Russia, actually is not only debunked by our intelligence community, by the Mueller report, and by the Senate Intelligence Committee, controlled by Republicans, but also creates a false sense of complacency. It credits Vladimir Putin with his contention that the Ukrainians, not the Russians, attacked us.
The top Republican on the House Judiciary Committee has objected to what he describes as a short notice that the committee members are getting, who the witnesses are going to be, the nature of the report, the details of the House Intelligence Committee report. They say the process is totally unfair. Is it fair to have a hearing on Wednesday morning at 10 a.m., when they just now discovered who are the witnesses, the constitutional lawyers, the experts who are going to testify, and they still haven't seen the basis of this report, namely the House Intelligence Committee's conclusion?
The purpose of the hearing this Wednesday is to frame the standards and the legal issues. And I can tell you, as a former prosecutor, as the chief federal prosecutor, United States Attorney for Connecticut, and then the state attorney general of my state, the clear evidence here is enough to rest the case on impeachment. But even more important, the standards here have been set forth in the Constitution for centuries. They've been debated often. The constitutional scholars appearing before the Senate are well known. And the report is based on testimony that everybody heard over the past couple of weeks. So there are no surprises here.
The Republicans, they want the chairman of the Intelligence Committee, Adam Schiff, to testify. He's the one who led the inquiry to begin with. They say he has the command of the facts. Do you think it would be appropriate for him to appear and answer questions before the committee?
There is absolutely no reason for Adam Schiff to appear. He's the chairman of the committee that heard this testimony. If the president of the United States has exculpatory evidence that shows his innocence, he should come forward and present it. He has been blocking witnesses and testimony from some of the key witnesses that have been sought by the committee. And rather than hiding behind a computer screen and tweeting, he ought to come forward and tell the American people.
The argument they make is that Adam Schiff led the investigation into all of this, the Ukraine investigation, the impeachment inquiry. And since there was no special counsel or independent counsel who did it, Ken Starr, he led the investigation into then-President Bill Clinton's impeachment process. He eventually testified before the committee. Since there was no special counsel and Adam Schiff was leading the investigation, why not let him, like Ken Starr, actually come forward and answer questions?
Adam Schiff did not act as a special counsel as Ken Starr did.
There was no special counsel in this case.
And there was no special counsel. That is absolutely right. That's the key distinction. But here's the really important point. What matters here is not the debate back and forth about whether Adam Schiff should testify or whether the Republicans were somehow surprised by the witnesses. What matters here are the facts and the law. And again, as a prosecutor, what I'm going to argue to the jury is facts and law. The testimony over these past couple of weeks corroborates what the president himself said in that July 25th conversation. Those dedicated patriots and professionals like Taylor and Hill who came before the committee, the American people should base their judgment on what they saw.
Very quickly, if it does come down to a trial in the Senate, he's impeached in the House. Do you see any evidence at this point that would lead you to acquit?
I want to see what the president has to say. If there is any evidence to acquit. So far, he has refused, absolutely refused, to come forward with his so-called exculpatory evidence. I would certainly listen carefully and closely to it. But right now, the evidence shows an impeachable offense, bribery, abuse of power, and obstruction of justice.
Senator Blumenthal, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Stay with us. We have more breaking news coming into the Situation Room. Federal prosecutors have just revealed the extent of evidence they have in the case against some of Rudy Giuliani's associates. There's breaking news in the federal case against associates of President Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani. CNN's Kara Scannell is in New York, where there was a court conference earlier today. Kara, you're learning that one of Giuliani's associates is what, willing to cooperate in Congress's impeachment probe of the president? What's the latest? What are you hearing?
Yeah, well, so today in court, an attorney for Lev Parnas, one of those associates, says that his client wishes to cooperate with the House Intelligence Committee's investigation. But he said that much of the documents and materials that have been subpoenaed by the House are still in the government's possession because the government had seized dozens of electronic devices from Parnas and his associates and that he does not have them yet to give over to the House intelligence investigator. So we also learned that prosecutors have seized 29 devices, a chunk of them from Parnas and others from Igor Fruman, his co-defendant in the case. And this includes hard drives, laptops, cell phones. And in the case of Fruman, the prosecutors said that they had obtained a satellite phone from his residence. So this is all part of the discovery process. And defense lawyers said that they have received about 70,000 documents so far just before the Thanksgiving holiday from prosecutors. But one of the attorneys said that within that material, it includes the search warrant affidavits. That kind of gives you a sense of the case. And in that, there were 26 pages that were redacted. So that's all related to uncharged conduct as part of the investigation that prosecutors are still undertaking. And also today, we learned that prosecutors are expecting to file additional charges against some of the men in the case. But the details on that were not, there were not very many details about what those charges might entail, Wolf.
I assume we're going to be learning a lot more about these associates in the coming days and weeks. Kara Scannell, thanks for that update. Stay with us. We're keeping a very close eye right now up on Capitol Hill, where members of the House Intelligence Committee will be looking over their report and the Trump impeachment probe. There's new information coming in. We'll be right back. We're following multiple breaking stories as the push to impeach President Trump moves forward up on Capitol Hill. Members of the House Intelligence Committee are going behind closed doors this evening to review their report on President Trump's dealings with Ukraine. Let's discuss this and more with our experts and our analysts. And Chris Saliza, I want to play for you some clips. They've been pieced together. This is Senator John Kennedy, Republican of Louisiana, saying what he originally said about a week or so ago, what he revised, and then what he said yesterday, as far as Ukraine and Russia both interfering in the 2016 election.
Senator Kennedy, who do you believe was responsible for hacking the DNC and Clinton campaign computers, their emails? Was it Russia or Ukraine?
I don't know, nor do you, nor do any of us. I was wrong. The only evidence I have, and I think it's overwhelming, is that it was Russia who tried to hack the DNC computer.
Then why do you think the president keeps saying something that he also knows is not true?
Well, here's why. There is a lot of evidence, proven and unproven, everybody's got an opinion, that Ukraine did try to interfere, along with Russia and probably others, in the 2016 election. I think both Russia and Ukraine meddled in the 2016 election.
Okay, two things. One, unproven evidence isn't evidence. I'm no lawyer, but that's true. Now, he can have an opinion that they both meddled in the election, but that is not a fact, and there are no facts that bear that out. Here's what we know. Thanks to the Senate Intelligence Committee, chaired by Republican Senator Richard Burr. Thanks to Bob Mueller's report. Thanks to the unanimous ruling of the intelligence community. Thanks to Tom Bosser, Donald Trump's former head of national security. We know all of these. We know that Russia meddled in the 2016 election with the express goal of helping Donald Trump and hurting Hillary Clinton because they thought Donald Trump was better for their interests. Now, the Ukraine piece. Yes, it is true. Some Ukrainian politicians, whether in an op-ed or on their personal Facebook posts, did say things like they didn't want Donald Trump to be elected. You know who else said that? Lots of other people in lots of other foreign governments. If that is the bar of interference when compared to a broad, concerted, coordinated effort by Russia, it's apples and oranges does it a disservice. It's a different universe.
And I just want to drill down on one of those groups that has said that it's not Ukraine, and that is the unanimous decision of the intelligence community. None of us has seen the report. It's classified. Okay, on who really meddled. But what I'm told by somebody who did see it is that it is very, very clear, crystal clear, that the cyber issue, which is what the president and his allies are suggesting, which is that the DNC hack was involved, was done by people in Ukraine, is flatly not true. Not just because of cyber investigation of the cyber situation, but because of broader intelligence sources and methods that they wouldn't nor should not tell me about. And so that is really the key. And then just the second beat of that is that the implication of this is that the people that this is all helping are the people in Russia. The person is Vladimir Putin, because this all takes the heat away from him where it should be.
If Bob Mueller had seen evidence of Ukrainian interference, he would have indicted the Ukrainians just like he indicted the Russians.
The 12 Russians. That's so key.
And he did not. So this is all muddying the waters. Mm-hmm. This is all muddying, stirring the pot, whatever you want to do, or however you want to describe it, as a way to say, well, yeah, the Russians did it, but maybe somebody else did it too. That is not the case.
That's right.
This is really no different from when President Trump stood alongside Vladimir Putin in Helsinki and accepted the Kremlin's version of the denials of Russian interference in the U.S. election over the conclusion of the U.S. intelligence community. And I think that it is obviously an effort by the president and some of his allies to delegitimize the allegations that are at the center of this impeachment inquiry. But one of the most sobering takeaways from when special counsel Robert Mueller testified on Capitol Hill was when he warned members of Congress that the Russians were still actively trying to interfere in the U.S. political process. He said, they're doing it as we sit right here. Mm-hmm. And one of the key findings in the Mueller report was that the Russians interfered in the 2016 election in a sweeping and systematic way. And so it's not just about rewriting history, which is what the president and some of the Republicans on Capitol Hill are trying to do. It also has significant implications for the upcoming election because it certainly casts doubt on what this administration is actually trying to do to deter Russian aggression as we move forward into 2020.
Senator Kennedy, a very intelligent guy, was a Rhodes Scholar at Oxford. Yeah. Why do you think he's doing this?
Because I think he understands, like virtually everyone else in the Republican Party elected officials, that the path of least resistance, the path of keeping your job, the path of keeping the president off your back is supporting what he says, despite the fact, Gloria makes the point, look, it's just not true. I mean, there's not much else to go with. An op-ed by some Ukrainian official is not the same thing as a coordinated, broad strategic attempt to meddle in the election online and offline that led to the indictment of a dozen Russians by Bob Mueller, the former FBI director, right? It's not the same thing. But John Kennedy knows and Donald Trump rewards him.
Yeah.
What did Donald Trump do this morning on the way to NATO? He tweeted, great job, John Kennedy.
Yeah. All right, everybody stand by. There's a lot more that's developing right now. A former FBI attorney, often mocked by President Trump, finally breaks her silence. Just getting this news into the Situation Room. Former President Jimmy Carter has just been admitted back into a hospital in America's Georgia this past weekend for treatment for a urinary tract infection, according to a statement from the Carter Center in Atlanta. Quote, he is feeling better and looks forward to returning home soon. We will issue a statement, the Carter Center says, when he is released for further rest and recovery at home. We, of course, wish him a speedy, speedy recovery. Other news we're following right now this week. The House is expected to take up a Senate-approved resolution condemning the Chinese government for its detention of an estimated 1 million people who are members of a Muslim minority. Recently leaked pictures and documents have exposed the brutal conditions they're enduring. CNN's Will Ripley reports.
China doesn't want you to know the secret behind these walls. Men, women, children. Sometimes entire families separated from each other, cut off from the outside world. The U.S. State Department says they live in prison-like conditions, locked up, not for what they did, but who they are, members of Muslim minority groups from Xinjiang province in China's far west. Why they're kept here is a carefully guarded secret. And if China finds the person who leaked more than 400 pages of government documents to the New York Times, they could disappear too.
This person is a member of the Chinese political establishment who wanted the leadership to be held accountable for the decisions that were made in Xinjiang.
Decisions made by Chinese President Xi Jinping, implicated in the mass roundup for the first time. What the U.S. calls the mass arbitrary detention and enforced disappearance of more than 2 million people. Massive effort to reprogram an entire ethnic group, Muslim Uyghurs. China blamed the Uyghurs for deadly terror attacks 5 years ago, attacks that killed scores of people. That same year, 2014, President Xi made a series of speeches calling for a crackdown on separatists. Show absolutely no mercy, he said in one speech. This video from Xinjiang suggests that's exactly what's happening. Men with their hands bound, heads shaved, and blindfolded at a train station. CNN is not able to independently verify this video or when it was taken. But two former detainees from Xinjiang told CNN the same thing happened to them. They describe being herded together with other inmates, moved from jail to jail. The Chinese government initially denied the camps exist. Now it calls them voluntary vocational training centers, teaching people how to integrate into Chinese society.
Xi Jinping's dream is One nation, one country.
What happens to people who don't fit into President Xi's dream?
So they've been tortured, they've been starvation. Their life is like unimaginable.
This is my brother.
This Uyghur journalist, now in the United States, says her brother has been missing in Xinjiang for more than a year. She burst into tears as soon as our interview ended. Pain shared by every family, torn apart. Someone they love, vanished. No message, no warning, gone.
These reports are consistent with an overwhelming and growing body of evidence that the Chinese Communist Party is committing human rights violations and abuses against individuals in mass detention.
Tough talk from the Trump administration as the president praised Xi just this week.
I have a very good relationship, as you know, with President Xi. We're in the final throes of a very important deal.
China's human rights record has been a focus of 6 months of violent protests in Hong Kong. U.S. lawmakers overwhelmingly passed a bill supporting human rights in the Chinese territory. The president signed the bill on Wednesday. CNN examined other secret Chinese government documents leaked by an investigative consortium. Guards are told never allow escapes. Detainees may not contact the outside world. China's ambassador to the UK calls the mounting evidence pure fabrication.
There's no so-called labor camps. The government gave them opportunity to learn language, Mandarin, you know, to be a good citizen, an effective worker.
That carefully woven narrative unraveling with each new revelation, shining light on a dark secret. What many believe is the Chinese president's plan to erase an entire culture.
Tonight, China's Ministry of Foreign Affairs is categorically denying to CNN that it was involved in any human rights issues in Xinjiang. They say what's happening there is counterterrorism and de-radicalization measures. Wolf?
Will Ripley doing excellent reporting for us, as he always does. Thank you, Will. Very much a very important story indeed. We'll stay on top of that. Also coming up, former FBI lawyer Lisa Page breaking her silence about President Trump's attacks on her. One of President Trump's favorite Twitter targets is breaking her silence. Former FBI lawyer Lisa Page, CNN's Brian Todd, has details. What are you learning, Brian?
Right, Wolf. Lisa Page says she's decided to take her power back. She's defending her conduct regarding her text with a former FBI agent who she had an affair with, hitting back at accusations that her personal opinions of President Trump tainted the Russia investigation. Still, this new interview continues to raise questions about the appearance of bias on Page's behalf. After 2 years, Lisa Page says she's done being quiet. The former FBI lawyer says President Trump's lewd imitation of her text with former FBI agent Peter Strzok, with whom she had an affair, broke the camel's back.
I love you, Peter. I love you too, Lisa. Lisa, I love you. Lisa. Lisa. Oh, God, I love you, Lisa. And if she doesn't win, Lisa, we've got an insurance policy, Lisa. We'll get that son of a bitch out.
In a new interview with the Daily Beast, Lisa Page says President Trump is, quote, demeaning me and my career. It's sickening. She says it's like being punched in the gut. My heart drops to my stomach whenever Trump tweets about her. Like today, Trump tweeting, when Lisa Page, the lover of Peter Strzok, talks about being crushed and how innocent she is, ask her to read Peter's insurance policy text to her, just in case Hillary loses. A reference to Strzok's text to Lisa Page on August 15, 2016, when he mentioned an insurance policy. Trump has interpreted that to mean the Russia probe. Strzok has denied that. But earlier that year, Page and Strzok exchanged other texts about Trump. Page once asking Strzok, Trump's not ever going to become president, right? Right? Strzok replies, no, he's not. We'll stop it. In March of 2016, Page texted Strzok, I cannot believe Donald Trump is likely to be an actual serious candidate for president. God, Trump is a loathsome human. Page and Strzok both left the Mueller investigation into Russian election meddling after Robert Mueller learned about their texts. And Trump has been slamming both of them ever since.
Lisa Page, who was forced to leave the FBI, and her lover, Peter Strzok, who we got their text messages, and what they said in those text messages was shocking.
when you talk about bias.
Next week, a Justice Department Inspector General's report will come out examining Trump's allegations of bias in the origins of the Russia probe. Lisa Page told the Daily Beast, "My personal opinions had absolutely no bearing on the course of the Russia investigations." But analysts say even the appearance of Page's texts is troubling.
The right question is whether there was behavior that has the appearance of impropriety relating to bias, and the answer is unmistakably there was.
Page claims she doesn't engage in partisan politicking. She says she's overwhelmed by dread and embarrassment that the public knows about her affair with Strzok.
Was it smart of her to speak out now, or should she not have allowed herself to be drawn into this further?
Lisa Page didn't have anything to lose by going public and telling her side, since Donald Trump continues to use her as a foil and diversion from more substantive issues and continues to taunt her.
Lisa Page says Trump's attacks still affect her everyday life. She says she gets nervous when someone looks at her on a commuter train, or if she sees someone wearing a Make America Great Again hat, she says she'll walk the other way just to avoid conflict. Other than President Trump's tweet about Page today, the White House has not responded to Lisa Page's interview. The FBI would not comment to CNN. Wolf?
All right, Brian, thank you. Just ahead, members of the House Intelligence Committee, they're about to review the impeachment report.